But you talk about natural law, Austin, as far as what males are and what females are and what Y chromosomes and X chromosomes are and what genitalia are. Gosh, we were talking about this again. But the reality is, it's like the law of gravity. These people are so twisted in their mindset because, remember, what is good is bad, bad is good, up is right, wrong, you know, wrong is right. All of these things they teach from their Kabbalah, and the people on the planet are finally beginning to realize that just maybe these guys are a bunch of sickos, and we don't want to believe it. It's kind of like them telling you now, there's no such thing as the law of gravity. I doubt its existence. Go ahead and step off a 10-story building, and you won't fall. You'll float. You'll fly like Superman, you know? And that's what they're saying to us. They're telling us to take something that's been a fixed thing in human civilization for hundreds of thousands of years, or however long man has been on this planet. Some say 8,000, some say more. I don't know. Who knows? But the point is, they're trying to change everything. They really are. And so this is what they do. It's called inversion, is to create this opposite of everything. It's what Otto Kahn talked about, you know, when I read you that letter that he had written as far as that summary from Jonas Alexis. This is the group, this Khazarian mafiosa group that was originally based in the Ukrainian area in, you know, where we have the Ukraine now, which were the snake people. They worshiped Lucifer. They sacrificed humans. They sacrificed children. They went into their surrounding areas, and they basically took these children, and they basically sacrificed them. It got so bad that the surrounding countries got together and said, you know, you guys got to stop this. We're not going to allow you. We're going to wipe you guys out. And these are the guys that converted to that point in time the Judaism. They claimed, but it wasn't. It was the synagogue of Satan. It was basically all of the groups of people who were all these snake worshipers and worshipers of all this weird stuff. They got together and became the Khazars, the Khazarian Mafia. And so you guys hear a lot about that, but, you know, nobody really understands what that means. Well, this is the Ukrainian area. And some say they're trying to take it back over again to make it their homeland again. I don't know, guys. It's just the whole thing is so twisted. But you go back into history and you start reading this stuff and you start seeing that these guys are doing this. And they've continued to do this for thousands and thousands of years. Now, let me give you an example here. You know, this is an article that just came out. And it talks about what's happening, you know, with these Khazarian mafias and who they really are, what they really believe, and what they're doing. And it's an article. I'm not going to give you the guy's name because this is an interview with him. And a lot of the stuff that he says I don't agree with, because he's definitely not a Christian. But he got this right today. And here's what he says. He goes, we've recognized what's occurred with this whole COVID-19 thing, so it's going to be difficult to go back to our old form of life. We're beginning to realize that this is the new normal. The new normal is going to be very disruptive, and it's going to be even more emotionally damaging to so many people. And now what we've seen is that in our reality, when the central bank itself and the system that the central bank has set up is under attack. And this is a good thing. All of the central banks on the whole planet are owned by the Rothschilds, which is a crime family. That's interesting. Now, here people are starting to talk about the same thing that I've been talking about. And he goes, so these are the Khazarians, part of the Khazarian Mafia. Very big in the Khazarian Mafia. And they own and control the central banking system throughout the whole Western world. This would be the Luciferian Kabbalist people that we've talked about. The Sabbatean Frank is the part of this group that he's discussing here. He said the system is crashing right now. And now in Ukraine, it's not going to get any worse than it is now. The Russians are not invading. This is an incursion. This is a policing action. He says the Russians have very specific goals. He goes, these Nazis that are in Ukraine are not like the German guys from World War II. The worst of the worst were the Ukrainian Nazis. It's because the whole Nazi idea comes from the Khazarian Mafia and goes way back into the 1800s, back to the period of the time of the Illuminati and the Freemasons and Albert Pike and the elimination of white people. All of this within the structure of work they gave to Albert Pike. He was something of a twisted genius, a military guy. The supposed Khazarian Mafia network is under attack now because of what's happening around the world. People are waking up and realizing it's these central banks. But they're in desperation to the point that they're trying to collapse the entire system. So here's the question you got to ask yourself. I'm going to step off this article now. If the international banking cartels are really in trouble, but they still control the world's economic engine and the currencies of the world, how do they still have so much power? How are they still shorting General Motors parts and trucks? You know, I told you I bought a truck back in December. It took 4 months to get to me, 4 months after I paid for it. Now, here's the problem. If they have that kind of control over the major world corporations and the economic world engines, how are they in trouble? I just thought I'd mention that. I mean, ask yourself that question. If they're still controlling everything this micro level, why do so many people now saying that they're crumbling and that basically this whole new world system is going to be reset and they're going to be thrown out? Or are they the ones, this Khazarian international one world government Luciferian group of international bankers at the highest levels, are they the ones that are collapsing everything so that they can still be in control on the other side? This is it. I mean, we've got to ask ourselves that question. And remember, the CIA is also controlled by this same mafia. Remember, they had witches on their payroll. I've told you guys that so many times. So the central bank basically is the deep state. The New York Fed controls the Treasury of the United States, took it over in 1933, 1934 with the Exchange Stability Fund. Now, that's the thing that they've done to us. You know, what a dollar was, you know, now from 1900 is you have to take $33 to $50 to buy the same thing that $1 did. So they're inflating the currency, and by inflating the currencies, they're monetizing their debt. So all of these guys, this mafia group, the Jewish mafia, the Italian mafia, the Russian mafia, all these guys that are involved in all of this bizarre behavior, including the running of $1.5 trillion out of heroin out of Afghanistan every year, they're basically running the world into a hole. And so what's going to happen is, you know, we're going to all look back one day and we're going to realize that Woodrow Wilson allowed this Rothschild group through Samuel Untermeyer to get their central bank back into the United States, you know, after they threatened his daughter and they sank the Titanic and the Lusitania and they blackmailed him because of his affair that he had at Princeton. Samuel Untermeyer did this. And then he brought in Brandish and all the rest of the stuff, all these liberal cabalists into the Supreme Court in these federal court positions. So all of this stuff is something that we have to really, really, really be careful with right now, because they're controlling the entire narrative of what we see on the radio, hear on the radio, see on the TV, because these are the guys that own the media. State Street, BlackRock, Vanguard. You know, we've talked about it in depth for years and years and years. So what we have to ask ourselves a question is this: what is the truth? Yesterday, I spoke to my pastor friend. He's 90 years old, and I talked to you about him a year ago, and they had put him on a chemotherapy drug, and we put him on supplements, and he worked with his doctor, and he recovered from the leukemia, and basically, you know, he's doing great. Then he decided to take three injections, three jabs, three shots, three kill shots, three clot shots. After I told him not to, he took the first one. I said, please don't take any more of these. And he turned right around and got the second one, turned right around and got the third one. Because, see, the older people, over the age of actually 60, they really see God and doctors kind of like synonymous, because they hold the power of life and death. And it's like they have their cross hanging around their neck. They call it their stethoscope. They're wearing their white robes, which is their clergy attire, and all the rest. And they were trained by their parents to believe that these guys were actually kings and gods. And I'm talking gods with like a little g, because they held the power of life and death. And so they controlled everything. So when they told you, take this drug, your blood pressure is supposed to be 120 over 70, and your blood pressure is 123 over 69, you have high blood pressure, take this drug. You go, I feel great. I'm kind of stressed out because you're taking my blood pressure. No, take the blood pressure. I won't see you as a patient. Well, I really don't want to vaccinate my children. No, you either vaccinate your children or you go to another doctor. You're banned. I'm going to excommunicate you, peasant. Get out of my office. You must vaccinate your children. Don't you get like, you know, $100,000 a year from these insurance companies if you have 100% vaccination rate? You don't know that. Don't look behind the curtain, peasant. You must not, under any circumstances, look behind the curtain and all the financial incentives that I have to stick your children with a needle. Don't talk about it, peasant. You must leave my office now, never to return. Okay, I'm excommunicated now. Yep, get out. And you go, wow, that was crazy. Years ago, I had a friend of mine, young guy, had some kids, and I pleaded with him not to vaccinate these kids, and he said he wasn't going to. Then because of pressure from the doctor and his wife, he decided he's going to vaccinate. And I asked him, why are you doing this? He said, well, the doctor won't see us, and it's free on my medical insurance. It's like $50 a visit, and I don't want to pay it. So I had a friend of mine who's a medical doctor in Lakeland, and I said, I tell you what, since I know you and I love you like a son, I want you to do this. I'll pay for the $50, and you can go to my general practitioner and make sure your kids stay healthy. No, I'm not going to do that. Well, we got into a big, big blowout. So he ended up injecting his children. Then he told me it would be God's will for his children if they came down with autism. I can't even make this stuff up. And the kid his son came down with autism after he was injected. And now all of a sudden he's diametrically opposed to vaccines. You know, why did it take that? You know, I talked to my buddy yesterday, my pastor friend, who had the shot, you know, and he was recovering. I had recovered from leukemia. Now the leukemia's back. And he said a few weeks ago, he had to go in and have a full blood transfusion because of his white blood cell count. I mean, he had to, like, replace all of his blood. And he said he feels much better now, but he's still unbelievably sick, and he only can go for a few minutes, and he's out of breath, and he actually feels horrible, and he felt great. He was preaching and everything else before he took the shots. And now he basically has cancer again, back on the chemotherapy drugs, and barring a miracle, he's going to die. Now, this is not an isolated event, my friends. Not an isolated event at all. Last night, I went to Lowe's to get some supplies. And I was, one guy was really there. He was really nice, really, really sharp. And he's about 69 years old. And I asked him, I said, have you had the shot? He goes, oh, I've had all three shots. And I said, well, how's it affecting? He goes, well, he goes, after the second shot, I got such a bad blood infection that I had to basically, you know, go on intravenous antibiotics. And now I have cancer. Yeah, this is what he told me. And this is last night. This is not something that we're just making up as we go here. And I said to him, I said, and he asked me, he says, well, can you guys please pray for me? And I said, yes, I'll be happy to pray for you. And we stopped right there, right there in the middle of Lowe's, and we prayed for him. You know, and people say, well, did somebody might have heard you? My response is, I hope somebody heard me. I really do. I hope somebody heard me. Wayne Allen Root, I was speaking with him by text last night, and he told me, he says, since our wedding in November, 12 friends have either died or had massive heart attacks. He had about 100 people at his wedding. So since his wedding on November, 12 friends have either had or died of massive heart attacks. All 12 who basically were vaccinated. No coincidences here. He says, Joe, his friend, was triple vaxxed, so the odds are not possible to lose 12 people in just one group since the wedding. This is something that Wayne Allen Root sent me last night. And then Rob Hugh from Wisconsin, good friend of mine, good man, really, really good man. He sent me, I sent him that text from Wayne. He says, thanks for sharing, Ted. I know two that have died since they took the jab. One was 38 years old. He was in the best of health, vibrant health. He ran 5 miles every day, rain, sun, or snow. He worked out of the gym every day, ate extremely healthy. Despite all of my warnings, he took the jabs, died of a massive stroke the next day. Another friend was 60. His wife was a nurse. He, too, was in good health. He had to get jabbed to keep her job. Two nights later, while sleeping next to her, he was just dead. No explanation. She just woke up at 2 a.m. and found him dead. All we can do is warn people and show them the evidence. Ultimately, it's their choice. They have to choose life or death. And then he said something really nice to me. He said, by the way, I've been meaning to shoot you a note to tell you how much I appreciate you and your show and Health Masters. You've been a wonderful friend. You're a good man and a faithful man. And I thank him for saying that for me. But the thing about it is with me, it's all about Jesus. With anything that I do, I give the glory to God Almighty. And you guys who know me personally, you know that's true. You know, we're all here for a little while, and then we're gone. And then we're on to our next life. And that's just what we have to always be thinking about. Sent another one to my friend Chris. Here's what he said. I had two of my associates in their 50s pass in their sleep after being vaxxed within 30 days. I'm like, oh, wow, this is just crazy. And then you think, well, yeah. And then I had my buddy Eric. You know, he's a good friend of mine. He's a doctor. And he said this. He goes, as a practicing physician, I have seen hundreds of people die over the past 12 months from heart attacks and other cancer-related illnesses. Hundreds. He goes, the amount of death and destruction that is happening in the world is unbelievable. There's been an 84% increase in mortality, all-cause mortality for millennials in 2021, and a 40% increase across the United States of all-cause death between the ages of 18 and 49. It just blows my mind that people aren't talking about this and how corrupt the mainstream media is completely. We know that the Health and Human Services has been over $1 billion marketing to push these shots. Now, you know, I could just go on and on and on. Another doctor friend of mine named Sherry, she goes, where's all the weeping? Where's all the wailing? Where's all the gnashing of teeth? Where's the wave of grief instead of, oh, well, and just acceptable? Where's the screaming anger of loss of husbands, wives, and children who are dying to democide, which is destruction and death by government? And my response back to Sherry was this. I said, light is coming to the world, but the world has preferred the darkness. And you think, wow, Ted, and these are just people that you know. Yes. Yes. Here's another one. He goes, I've lost two colleagues. This is Tom. I've lost two work colleagues as well just in the last month, both caused by blood clots. Both were women in their 40s. I mean, unbelievable. It just goes on and on and on. And I just sent this out this morning, and I got all these responses back that fast just from some of the people on my personal text list. Terribly sad. Another one is from Stan and Roxanne. We've been hearing this way too often. Prominent ophthalmologist in our area, 64 years old, died suddenly last week. And you step back and you look at it and you go, wow. Gary said, we lost several older gentlemen from our church who just suddenly developed blood clots. And you go back and you go, why don't these people listen? Well, I don't know. You know, I think a lot of them, again, it's because the mainstream media is so completely and totally compromised. They're not telling the truth of what's happening with these clot shots and who's giving them and why they're being given these shots. This is the eugenics protocol. I warned everybody. Remember? You guys go listen to the shows 2 years ago that we're going to start having massive deaths from this when they developed this shot. And a year and a half ago when they started shooting people up, I said, you wait. You wait. You wait till you see the death rates. And the only reason the death rates aren't higher are because of placebos. Yep, because of placebos. We now know that, you know, Pfizer put out a lot of placebos. They didn't have any active ingredients in some of these shots. They were saline solution. This whole thing was a beta test. It was a clinical experiment. They did it on the population of the planet, giving out supposedly 10 billion shots to see what kind of death rates they could achieve. Remember Bill Gates said they're going to use vaccinations and injections to basically cause population death globally? He said that in one of his speeches as far as how they could be able to reduce the population of the planet. And now what's interesting here, here's an article from the expose. It says, whilst you've been distracted by the Russia and Ukraine, the UK government quietly published data confirming the triple vaccinated are just weeks away from acquiring AIDS, acquired immune deficiency syndrome. The latest official figures from the UK health security agencies are that triple vaccinated people ages 30 to 70 have now lost at least 70% of their immune system compared to the natural immune system on vaccinated people. Their immune systems are deteriorating between 10 and 30% per week on average, with the deterioration much larger and quicker among the younger age groups, hence why we have so many people coming down with cancer. If this continues at the current rate, then all triple vax 18 and 39 years old will have 100% immune system degradation by the middle of next month. Now, here's the thing that this is not taking into consideration. It's the placebos. You may be triple vax, but only one of the vaccinations may have actually been one of the actual shots. The rest could have been placebos, or you could have received all three active shots. And in that case, I don't think you have much of a chance, to be honest with you guys. England's COVID-19 figures were produced by the UK Health Security Agency, and the following table showing the number of vaccination cases status between week 6 and week 9 is taken from the week 10 to 22. As you can see from the above, the triple vax population accounted for the majority of the COVID cases in each age group by a country mile, except under the age of 18. The highest number of cases in those 4 weeks was recorded by the triple jabs, 40 to 49-year-olds, with 111,000 confirmed cases. This compares to just 10,000 cases among the unvaccinated 40 to 49-year-olds. I'm going to post this article for you guys because you need to read through all of it. We covered part of this information a couple of months ago, but now it's coming back up again as these rates are actually being shown to be true, and then we're having all of these people basically dying. And, you know, I don't know what to tell somebody when they've been triple vaxxed at this point. I really don't. I guess they could take N-acetylcysteine. I guess they could take vitamin C. They're going to have to really have a lot of vitamin E and cod liver oil to thin the blood because of clots. If that'll help, it may or may not. I don't know. They're going to have to basically really keep their diet clean and not eat any hydrogenated oils and trans fats and sugar and coffee and alcohol and all those other things that we talk about on the top 10 list never to eat. They're going to have to find a way to get their immune system really boosted up with D3, potassium iodine, with zinc, with quercetin. I don't know what else to say. I mean, because I'm in a quandary here. Because I look at what's happening and I'm like, you know, somebody has destroyed their immune system. You know, it probably isn't going to get fixed. So what can you do? The only thing you can do is mitigate the damage. That's all you can do at this point with supplementation and dietary and lifestyle change. But when you have guys that are running 5 miles a day or dropping dead, running 5 miles a day, I can't even run 5 miles a day. I don't even want to do that because of the banging on my spine and my, you know, my joint system. But the reality is this. Why in the world isn't this being pushed into the media more and more and more? It's because, again, like I mentioned in the beginning of the show, The mainstream media is controlled by the same Khazarian mafia group, the Sabbatean Kabbalist Frankist group, the Synagogue of Satan group, the Druid group. It's just pick a name. It's the same group. The worshippers of Baal and Moloch and Ein Sof, this group, the group that basically was sacrificing human beings when Moses went up on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments, the same group that we've seen through the Dark Ages continue to sacrifice children and drink their blood, the same group that runs the central banks, the same group, bloodline families, that are on the Committee of 300, the Council on Foreign Relations, on the Bilderberger Group, or the Boys and Girls from Bohemian Grove, on and on and on and on. It's the same group of these people. There's only, I think, 200,000 of these weirdo, wackos, fully blown synagogue of Satan on the planet. We just need to give them the island of Madagascar and let them kill each other. You know, and just basically stop all boat traffic off Madagascar, all plane traffic off Madagascar, you know, put up a security barrier around it, you know, mine the doggone harbors, do everything you need to, and see what they want to do as far as their human sacrifice and killing each other, and they'll still self-extinguish. They'll self-extinguish within a few years. They'll sacrifice everybody until everybody's dead. Happened in Central and South America because they decided to worship Quetzalcoatl, who came over there as the winged serpent god. Same group, again, with this demonic entity coming over here. It happened with the American Indians, who routinely, many of these different tribes, did human sacrifice. Central America, human sacrifice. South America, human sacrifice. You say, well, you know, they don't do that anymore. Well, we don't know. We have no idea if they do that anymore. We don't know what's going on down there in those jungles. You know, I watched this, The Lost City of Z, the other day. I'm not recommending the movie because it's really boring, but it was on one of the TV shows that I was watching, and it showed this guy who got into the South American area about 100 years ago, and they ended up killing him. They gave him something to drink and just sacrificed him. And, you know, and him and his son. And, you know, people say, well, it was awful what we did to the American Indian. I'm not saying that what we did to the American Indian wasn't awful. But what were the American Indians doing to each other? If they were killing each other and sacrificing each other, the same thing with the Central Americans and the South Americans. We've brought Christianity to them to try to change them so they'd stop eating each other. Oh, my God. What are we supposed to do? Just pretend like that didn't happen? We're supposed to pretend like they weren't sacrificing and eating their hearts and drinking their blood and skinning the bodies and then wearing the skin like a suit. We're supposed to pretend like none of that happened and these were all good people and the Christians came over and they destroyed their culture. Let me explain something to you. When you're eating people and sacrificing people and sacrificing children and using their skin as a suit, somebody needs to disrupt your culture. Somebody needs to give you a reality check, and somebody needs to say, stop it. That's the depravity that happens with human beings if they don't have Jesus, if they don't have the Most High God in their lives. They get sick, and they get caught up in all kinds of weird perversions. It says in the book of Genesis, isn't it, that every thought of every person was evil all of the time. Guys, that's what we try to do on this show. It's about Jesus. Like I said to you guys yesterday, we don't have a snowball's chance in H.E. double sticks without Christ on this planet right now. He's the only thing that's going to deliver us. People say, well, we're going to overthrow these guys, and we're going to put a secular government in, and we're going to rewrite our Constitution. It'll all just happen again. It'll just happen again without Jesus. You've got to make Jesus the center of everything. Otherwise, perversion and sickness and men competing as women and transgender story hour and men using the bathroom with little girls, it'll just all come back again because these guys have put their seed into these people that are so weak-willed and weak-minded in the United States. See, a lot of these liberals who are communists who basically believe this whole transgender story hour is good and transgenders are good, they're not Satanists. They're not sacrificing children and drinking blood. They're just twisted. They're messed up in the head. You know, they were taught that all this stuff was okay from a childhood era when they were at a theta brainwave state. And they don't know how to reprogram it, nor do they wish to reprogram their brain. But they're not actively involved in sacrificing human beings yet.